This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Rivalry Week with Danny and Dusty.
Now we'll throw it. It's caught. Tez Johnson inside the outside of the 15 on a juke. To the 10, to the 5. He got to the pylon. Touchdown, Tez Johnson.
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus.
Rivalry Week with Danny and Dusty.
Back to throw, Gabriel steps up, gonna run, got a block, 10, 5, Dylan Gabriel, touchdown Oregon.
On the Odyssey app and 1080.
Really in the name of
the Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in, happy Monday.
I could have synced that one up to the music.
How's everybody doing?
Great, now I got some rage to start
some
my day.
Rage? That's what I'm talking about,
that'd be
Jeff
a good
Russ.
Kick-ass start for Rivalry Week.
Let's go.
To work in the killing in the name of right before the 1080 The Fan.
You kidding
that's
me?
Right.
Yeah, that's why they pay me those medium-sized bucks.
That's right, buddy.
Yeah.
That's right, buddy. How we all doing? Everybody good?
Good.
Yeah.
It's a good weekend.
Yeah.
I had a weekend day off, so.
Oh,
Those are few and far between.
I had a two-day weekend.
Yeah, look
at you. Those are few and far between, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Way to go, Jeff.
Jeff Ross, two-day weekend.
Way to go.
It's the little things that matter.
It didn't go so good for Dusty.
Oh.
Yeah, my weekend sucked.
Yeah. There's a reason why he no longer has a mustache.
That's right. My Braves lost. We lost in the semifinals. It was a great run, great season. 22-15. That sucked.
How was the weather in the end?
It snowed during pregame, and that got us all going. It was fun. And then it was just a little bit cold over in Central Oregon. We played in the semifinals against Burns.
That'll happen there.
Kellen Clemens' crew.
Yeah.
He wasn't there, but
it's
the only person I know from Burns.
Yeah, right.
So, we lost to the Burns Highlanders, 22-15 in the state semifinals.
Well, there can be only one.
Highlander. Yeah. So I've been pretty miserable to be around since Saturday evening. But I'm glad to be here, you know?
There we go.
Yeah, there was a lot of great football, though, that we caught up on. We watched, was able to watch a lot on Saturday. And then yesterday, NFL was great, but I couldn't enjoy any of it because that's what happens when you coach. And that's one of the great things about coaching high school sports is that you get emotionally invested and your happiness depends on teenage kids.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you think, what could I have done?
It just ruins the rest of your weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Because tackling a high school kid coming off the sideline, probably going to be frowned upon. Yeah. But I thought about it. Mm. You know, you think about those things.
you start thinking, well, you know, maybe Tonya Harding did have it right.
Well, who was it that did it in college?
Woody Hayes. Woody Hayes gave a forearm to a Clemson player that came off the sideline.
But much more recently, there was somebody tripping somebody.
Oh, Mike Tomlin. Tomlin. He in an
Why
NFL
did I want
game,
to say
he
was like,
watching the video board, and the guy ran into him.
Not to throw either one of these guys under the bus, but why did I think it was like a Kalani Sitake or a Tosh Lapoy or something?
I don't know.
Am I
know
completely
about
off
that.
Base?
I don't remember that. All I remember Mike Tomlin getting run into.
Gotcha.
And being like, whoa, you know, I was just watching the play on the video board as I'm on the field.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, right.
Yeah, that one was tough. I remember that one going, nah, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. So other than that, it's a really good weekend for me, though. Really good weekend.
Other than my soul being ripped from the pits of my body, fine.
Yeah. You know, there's something to, you know, the fact that you invest a lot of time in, and you want the best for all of the kids that are there, you know, and then you see like the seniors after every season comes to an end, and very very rarely does it happen where you end up on the happiest of notes, right?
Only one team does.
And when you're at a place for a long enough period of time where you see and you get to know these kids that come into a program and they come in as middle schoolers.
Yeah.
And then you get to see them grow, develop, and turn into young adults. Like, there is an attachment that you get to these kids. And you realize that you're now sending adults off. And what does it mean, and what did they get out of playing, in this case, high school football? And the lessons that they can kind of translate over into their life. And I'm really lucky that I do get to have my soul ripped out annually. It sucks.
It's a lot like buying a dog. It's buying grief.
Yeah.
You know, in the end, it will rip your soul away from you.
You're damn right. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
No, all the joy that you get along the way.
Yeah. And then you talk to, like, you always have that decompression. You talk with your family because you actually get to see them on a Sunday.
Yeah, which is nice. You're around.
Yeah, hey, you're here. Yeah. And then you realize how invested, like, as your kids get older, how invested your kids get into it, right? And they realize, my son and my daughter are both, like, all in 100%. You know, hearing, you know, my daughter talk about how, like, you know, I miss a lot of your soccer games. She's like, I don't care. She's like, the best part of my week is when I get to hug you after a football game. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's like, all right, so maybe I'm not missing everything in this world. And it's really cool to kind of to go through that. It sucked, though, this weekend. And we got a great group of kids, got a great community, and wouldn't want it any other way.
No.
It's awesome. So,
and they're lucky to have you, man.
Love the Braves. Love the Braves. We got a lot that we need to get to. All right, enough of this sentimental stuff where we go through me and my feelings.
It's a good place. It's a good place
for
this.
The Oregon State Beavers. Mm. Damn it. What a game on Saturday night.
We owe apologies.
I apologize for nothing, but...
Well, look, I mean, that turd was kind of swirling there for a while.
No, I apologize for nothing because you could tell the way they came out on Saturday night, they felt exactly like everybody else that watched what they put on the field at Air Force, and they wanted to rectify it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to talk about the Beavs because we discussed this on Friday. Like, if you win one of those two games to
big
end
deal.
The year,
big deal.
It is a big deal because of the five games that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes a long way to instilling the confidence back in Trent Bray, right? And that he can get these guys going in the same direction. And that five-game skid, boy, that sucked for Oregon State. But the way they did it against Washington State, that was awesome. We need to talk about and give the Beavs their flowers. Somebody may apologize. I apologize for nothing.
Mm.
I just called it like I saw it, and that was the 28-0 lackluster effort in Colorado against Air Force. You got to be fair, right? And they sure as hell got back on the right track with the win over Oregon State or Washington State. Chaos week in college football.
Good God, every single thing that I think we talked about happened.
It really did.
Like, every single thing.
Yeah. What's the SEC going to complain about now?
I mean, they'll find something.
Oh, they're going to.
But
You're already seeing it today. Well, a three-loss SEC team can't rule. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Go home.
No,
go home.
I don't care about your schedule.
No.
Because the SEC is so tough. Top to bottom.
No. Don't give me that. You know what? You guys shouldn't have gone and pilfered the Big 12 and said, the Big 10 right now, you're looking at a team that was in the much maligned Pac-12 going to be playing for a conference title in your conference. The Big 12, you're going to have a Pac-12 team. You could have two Pac-12 teams potentially playing in the Big 12 title game. The SEC, you're going to have a former Big 12 team in your conference championship game, the ACC, you're going to have a former American Athletic Conference team in your conference championship game. You don't get the right to complain about your conference being so tough when you went and destroyed other conferences to get tough.
Mm-hmm.
You lose that. You lose that ability, especially when that team in Texas has only played one team with a winning record.
Is that a lot?
Don't tell me that your conference is so deep and so tough when you have a team playing in a conference championship game that will have, well, after this week, two games against teams with winning records. No, not going to buy it. Not going to buy it. So we had a chaos week in college football. It was feisty. It was a sneaky little week in college football.
I might have to find 30 seconds to sneak in Cooper Flagg talk to.
Okay. Yeah, he was impressive.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going to get it, because we also have Indiana turned into a pumpkin.
No, that was not good.
Yeah. And that was a statement by Ohio State.
It was.
Especially on the defensive side of the ball.
I did not like said statement, but they made one.
Okay. They made it.
Mm.
It was an emphatic win over the Indiana Hoosiers. And then Kurt Cignetti's press conference was gold.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just sheer gold. Is this a serious question that you're asking me? All right. So let's get to it. Where we got to, and we got to talk about the Blazers, because Blazers got that split in Houston.
Hey.
Oh my gosh. We only saw that coming.
The least surprising result imaginable. Also, we do have some mild breaking news.
Oh, we do?
John Morant is going to play for the Grizzlies tonight. Against the Blazers.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be out for over a week.
Another week, yeah.
Wow.
So,
All right. Well, we got that.
Well, Bird Bones is
going
to play tonight.
Wow. All right. Well.
Bet you that line just shifted.
Got a lot of jokes. A lot of jokes I was ready to fire off and not going to do. I'm not going to do. I'm a better man than that.
Yeah.
You mean Bird Brain?
We have a lot of NFL talk that we need to get to as well, because another crazy weekend in the NFL. Bryce Young almost beat Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, what the hell happened?
Add that on
there.
Your bingo card. And then we have the rookie quarterbacks. The rookie quarterbacks had themselves a day. Nelly. All right, where we got to start, though? Let's start with those Oregon State Beavers. They knock off Washington State, and gosh darn it, they deserve their flowers today. This is Danny Dusty on the Fan. The Oregon State Beavers knock off Washington State 41-38, putting an end to a 5-game losing streak and officially crowning themselves Pac-12 champions.
Pac-12 champions, baby.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's a hell of a win for Oregon State. I mean, it not only is it just ending the 5-game losing streak, but you saw glimpses of that team that we said, hey, they may not be what they were last year, but they are going to be a team that could give some people headaches. They could give some teams some fits. Mm-hmm. And we had not seen that, you know, since early in the season. This 5-game losing streak, that's a tough one to break. And especially when you're coming on the heels of 28-0 route in Colorado Springs? Colorado Springs, Air Force. At Air Force, where you barely muster 100 yards of offense, and you come out in the way that the Beavs did it, I think kudos to them, because there were apprehensions, there was consternation over this staff and being able to maximize the talent. Very similar to what we saw with Chauncey Billups when he called out the Blazers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You saw there was a reckoning in that Oregon State program after that performance at Air Force. And they responded in kind. The opening drive, it just looked night and day from anything that we saw in Colorado, or anything
really,
that we've seen
most of the season
for over a month.
Yeah.
And hats off to that staff and those players for getting it back on the right track.
I did not give them a chance in hell. I thought the line was too tight. I don't care if it was at Reese, just watching them against Air Force, who is not a good team, absolutely dominate them in a way that they should not be able to dominate them.
Mm.
I was like, I know you can fluctuate week to week, and we're talking about kids and all those things, but Air Force is a bad program this year. And the way that they handled Oregon State, I was like, there's just no – as explosive and as dynamic as Washington State is with Mateer at quarterback, I was just like, this line should be like 16. I thought this was going to be an absolute housing.
Yeah.
I'm more surprised not only by Oregon State winning, but that they put up 41. Now, mm-hmm. Washington State is not a great defense. Like, we've seen many teams score them. But I didn't think Oregon State would have the punching power to break as many big plays as they did. I mean, the 30-yarders, 40-yarders. A guy that had like six 20-yarders.
Well, and that just kind of when the game is in that back and forth, it's got you got that tennis volley mm-hmm. kind of momentum to it. You throw a pick six.
Yeah.
You throw a pick six and it's like, oh boy. And then the rebound, the wherewithal to kind of, because at that point on a 5-game losing streak, in a game like that, if that play happens, right, that is the, oh boy, here we go again, right? Oh no, it's starting to unravel for us. We've got, you know, two of our last three drives have ended in interceptions. This is it. You know, this is how we go back down. No, they respond with the touchdown. They force a fumble. And then with 26 seconds left on the clock on senior night, Everett Hayes comes on and he kicks a 54-yarder to put you over the edge. Like, that was, it was a ballsy performance by Oregon mm-hmm. State.
No, it was.
And I love to see that. Because, we haven't talked a lot of Oregon State this year. It's not because I haven't been watching them. It's because
we didn't want to throw dirt on them.
Well, yeah.
You don't want to cover, Oregon State got dog walked by an academy.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Like, we know there's a lot of Beaver fans out there, and you don't really want to hear that your school just got mollywopped by a bad team. And that everything is going wrong and the injuries are piling up and there's questions about the coaching staff. It's like, have your down year in peace.
Yeah.
if they're doing well, you want to kind of give them their flowers because of their circumstances, their situation. But it's like, this kind of feels like hiring a comedian at a funeral.
Yeah. It was a game that they needed in a big way. And we talked about this last week, a win in either one of their final two would go a really long way for being in a position where you have that little bit of momentum. Like, the worst thing in the world is to end this season on a 7-game losing streak and everybody's jumping ship left and right. It gives you faith in Trent Bray. It gives you faith in the staff. They went out and Ben Gulbranson coming out being the thrower, Jabari Johnson mm-hmm. getting his run, actually using his legs effectively in that game. And you have got that two quarterback system where it wasn't perfect by any means, but you were able to keep Washington State on their heels. And you have to be creative. And we saw that the fight was there. We saw a little bit more creativity. By no means was it a perfect game. We mentioned two interceptions in a 3-drive span for Oregon State. You have, at one point, the Hankerson drop where you're going, oh, no, but they didn't quit. They never rolled over and said, oh, boy, here we go again. Woe is me. Woe is us. They found a way to pull out a win. And if you're an Oregon State fan, you got to feel really damn good about it. You don't have to feel great about this season, but you can feel really good about that game. And
you're in a better spot.
Well,
sure.
Now you're one win away from being 500, mm-hmm. 6-6.
Bowl eligible.
Find yourself in a bowl. Mm-hmm. And you got Boise State, which the last 2 weeks, they have not been perfect. They have not been this monster or this menace.
No.
They do have one in the backfield in Ashton Jeanty.
And things change when he leaves the field,
but
which is what happened this last week.
You have got to find a way in Boise, hostile environment, hostile territory, where they have their sights on, a Mountain West Conference championship game, potentially getting a first-round bye in the college football playoff with the way that everything broke this past weekend in college football. Like, I still think it's an outside shot because look at where the ACC will be ranked. We're going to learn a lot tomorrow about what the committee feels about a Boise State and how they feel about SMU and
I want to see
Miami.
How far Alabama plummets. That falls off the face of the sun
that
kind
was
of
a,
deal.
That was a butt kicking.
I mean,
but for Oregon State, if you get a Boise State team that has played like they have the last couple of weeks where they flirted with disaster, and you come in with the resilience and the wherewithal that they did this past weekend against Washington State.
A 2-8 Wyoming team almost got Boise State this last
week.
You're
going Lloyd Christmas.
Yeah.
You're telling me there's a chance.
Look, if Aston Genty's not on the field, that's what everything runs to for Boise State. And the second they start asking somebody to do more, it don't work.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is when Aston Genty is on the field, there's just nothing anyone can do.
No. He is a force of nature.
Yeah.
He is, and they are going to want to make a statement. Because they haven't looked good the last couple of weeks.
And they need to kick it up a little bit.
Boost him for Heisman. They need to boost their profile for...
Which after Colorado lost.
Playoff seeding.
Genty's back on top.
I don't... There's no way. Colorado losing should not impact...
I 100% agree. But Genty jumped him pretty substantially last I looked.
Oh, really? I thought Travis Hunter was still plus 1,000. I thought I saw that somewhere. Or minus 1,000. Somewhere. But that was it was another chaotic week. Like for Travis Hunter, like really, we're going to knock him in the Heisman race because Colorado lost to Kansas.
It's very dumb.
He had 8 catches for 125 yards and 2 touchdowns. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Just because he didn't single-handedly at corner hold Kansas in check?
100%. Because Jalen Daniels was running all over them.
That's the corner's fault.
Yeah.
What is this?
It's dumb.
Is occurring?
It's all very dumb.
What is happening?
Yeah, it looks like he's minus 330 now. Hunter
is?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right, well, minus 330, still a heavy favorite. Yeah. Still a heavy favorite. But, boy, that was a bad loss for Colorado. And now that wasn't the only bad loss in all of college football, though.
How many bad losses do you want to talk about next?
All of them. And where we got to start.
It's only a 3-hour show, guys.
Oh, buddy.
And where we got to start is in the Southeastern Conference,
where,
boy, they were barking all week long. They were yapping left and right.
Uh-oh.
And it did not go their way. First is Rust with SportsCenter. All right, it was a wild weekend in college football. As Adam Schefter would say,
carnage in the streets.
Upset after upset after upset across the world of college football, including Oregon State beating the Washington State Cougars.
Yes.
Right? We just got done talking about that game. That was a big win for Oregon State.
The one that we wanted to happen, Indiana over Ohio State, didn't.
No. No, it didn't.
Looked good early.
Or Army over Notre Dame, but, you know.
Okay.
I said wanted.
Who in the world? You really tried to convince us all that Army had a shot. No, they didn't.
I knew they didn't.
They didn't.
I just thought if I spoke it into the world, it might.
It was 49-14 in Army.
Close.
It was nowhere close. Nowhere close.
Very tough.
Still can't wait to go see Army Navy.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a great one. Yeah. Because guess what? Army and Navy,
close.
Neither one of them are Notre Dame
no.
against Army or Navy, which that seemed to be lopsided in both
but
of those.
But Alabama might as well have been Navy against, or might as well have been an Army against Notre Dame as getting absolutely shellacked by Oklahoma.
The SEC had been barking all week long about how they deserve, how tough the conference is. They deserve it. They deserve it. Alabama, the 7th-ranked team in the country, picks up their 3rd loss of the year, a 24-3 beatdown at the hands of the Oklahoma Sooners. And think about this, too. This is an Oklahoma team that they were freaking out about their quarterback. They fired their play caller. They are in it. Like, they are sitting there going, we are reeling as a program.
Mm-hmm.
Is Brent Venables the right guy? 24-3. It was a game that isn't like, oh, if one thing goes this way or that way, maybe it's a little bit different. No, they kicked the living hell out of Alabama. And when's the last time a Kalen DeBoer team only scored 3 points, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple different things. Oklahoma ran the ball all over Alabama, which is an insane thing to say. I mean, they just lined up and said, good luck. It looked like what Alabama did to Wisconsin earlier this year, where they just said, we're going to run between the tackles. Good luck.
And look, it's funny you mentioned Wisconsin in that, because what we saw in the SEC is exactly why, you know, the Wisconsin game being 16-13, mm-hmm. find a way. It is really hard to win games this time of the year. I mean, the war of attrition kicks in. We always talk about, oh, the SEC, that bye week, but they play, you know, Sister Mary the Poor before they have a rivalry game. Well, there's a reason why they do it. It's so they can get right, get healthy, win, and they manipulate the schedule better than anybody. Like, they do. But guess what? They're picking up bad losses at the end of the year. Oof. Alabama was one. Ole Miss goes down to the swamp. It's hard to win on the road.
And we gave Napier his credit and said they've got it right. They've got Lagway back there. They're playing comfortable football. And then Ole Miss has kind of stepped on a landmine here or there. And boy, did they step on one. Real quick on the Oklahoma-Alabama game. Which program has more bad faith hope in their quarterback? Alabama or Oklahoma? And Jalen Milroe and Jackson Arnold?
I mean, I don't think that either one of them really do feel like they're comfortable. I mean, Jalen Milroe still puts up good numbers and has guided them to wins, but it's just not to their expectations because guess what? The rest of their roster isn't absolutely loaded anymore. No. That happens. I mean, three picks is a brutal way to go, but I mean, those were his first picks in over a month.
Yeah. 11 of 26.
He isn't a Heisman candidate that he was hyped up to be at the beginning of the year. And look, Arnold wasn't either, but he ran the ball down Alabama's throat.
Oh my God.
He ran the ball down their throat. I don't think either one of them are comfortable right now, but this is the world of college football now. The power vacuum of the SEC is kind of losing
it doesn't exist.
Its suction right now. Mm-hmm. And Ole Miss is another great example of that, right? I mean, they go down to the swamp, and look, I don't know how the SEC is going to try to spin this.
Because they will.
But they will. But you have that Ole Miss loss, and then you have Texas A&M losing in four overtimes to Auburn on the heels of Mike Elko, the head coach, who I love Elko. I think he's a damn fine head coach.
He might have oopsed that one.
Well, you think early in the week when we played the audio of him saying, oh, we're not overlooking Auburn right now. Our focus is on Texas. I mean, Auburn.
Oops. Good luck putting that cat back.
And then you go and you lose in quadruple overtime to Auburn because you drop you drop that two. Could that ball be in a better spot?
No.
I could hit him right in the chest and it's just like, done. Game over, pick up their third loss. Now you have...
Which Marcel Reed was the right choice for A&M, by the way.
Huh?
Going away from Wegman.
Yeah. But you have now have three teams that pick up their third loss of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, but you lose
you're out.
Any of your conversations because those are bad losses.
Mm-hmm.
Like Alabama, that's a bad loss to Oklahoma. And you know what won't happen now that happened earlier? Vanderbilt beat Alabama, and then all of a sudden, they're ranked again. Well, they've come back down to earth, right? They're a good team. And very similarly, Oklahoma is a good team. They're not a top 25 team. We're all watching it.
Oh, yeah, no.
We've seen what has happened.
They're not. I mean, we should only be talking about Texas, Georgia, Tennessee. That's it.
As far as being college football playoff.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, they.
You get three losses, dog. Get out.
Yeah, and when you have bad losses mixed in there, when you lose to Kentucky and you lose to Florida,
and Auburn.
We are not going to. Well, yeah, I'm talking Ole Miss right now. Like, I'm not going to give Ole Miss the benefit of the doubt anymore. You know, like, I'm sorry, it's a 12 team playoff. If you thought that you were the 12 best teams in the country, you're not going to have three losses and get your way in and complain about it.
No.
Are they going to be better than a team that gets in? Yeah, but you got to handle the schedule that's in front of you. If you want to complain about how tough your schedule is, go join the Pac-12. They're looking for a team.
You can play some lighter opponents.
Seriously, if you want to complain about how tough your schedule is and woe is me, well, you play eight conference games first of all, okay, and then you want to complain about, well, go join the Pac-12, win that conference, and you can do what Boise State's doing right now, which could be looking at a first-round bye. Go ahead and do it. I dare you to do it. Because if that is your complaint, mm-hmm. you are in the SEC. You pillage the SEC and the Big Ten pillaged other conferences so they could get all of the money. What do you want? Do you want the money or do you want to earn a spot in the college football playoff?
Are you ready for two ACC teams in the college football playoff?
Yeah, I am.
Because that's the road we're heading down.
Yes. Yeah. All right. And you're probably going to see SMU, Miami, or Clemson. Any machination of those two. Well, I mean, Clemson only has one conference loss right now.
Yeah.
And Boise State fans, cover your ears on this one. But we will learn a lot tomorrow about where the college football playoff is going to land on Boise State.
Because the game control yesterday was not good.
No.
Or Saturday. Not good, fellas.
No.
Not good.
And whoever they play in the Mountain West Championship game, it ain't going to be as good as the other wins. They're going to get jumped.
No.
They're going to get jumped.
Look, again, cover your ears, Beavers fans. The Boise State needs to pummel the Beavers.
Yeah.
To get the spicy points back.
I mean, Boise State is going to have a top 25 victory because Colorado State lost in the Mountain mm-hmm. West, by the way. That happened this weekend. So you're probably going to get a rematch of Boise State UNLV, and it'll be a top 25 win for Boise, but it won't be a top 15 win, which is what the committee will look at. And they'll say, well, you know, we looked at a quality win by insert ACC team here against a game opponent, and they're in. You know, and they're going to get that first round bye. And that's the game that's going to be played because that's the deck is stacked against them. And so go out, convince Ole Miss to join the Pac-12 and take a big cut in pay and say, hey, you guys can complain about not playing such a tough schedule in the SEC and have a bunch of money. Or you can go ahead and go to the playoff every year by winning the Pac-12. You know?
There you go. I like it. See, we're solving multiple issues in college football all at once.
We really are. Mm.
That's what we do here.
Mm-hmm. It's how it goes down. There are a couple other big losses, and it's going to shape the Big 12 as well. Watch out. Maybe that Pac-12 wasn't that bad after all.
Oh.
Danny Dusty on the Fan. The Big 12 saw chaos. I'm an agent of chaos. I love it. I love the fact that here we are at the end of the year, and this is how the college football world is panning out. The Big 12 race is a wild one right now, where if you look at it, Arizona State with a win over Arizona in the Territorial Cup, they can be in the Big 12 championship game with Kenny Dillingham calling the shots in year two. The Big 12 very easily could have a four-way tie with Arizona State, BYU, Colorado, and Iowa State. Okay. If that, all of them being 7-2 coming out of this weekend, the final weekend of the regular season. If that happens, Arizona State will be the one seed. Iowa State will be the two seed in the Big 12 conference title game in Arlington. Kenny Dillingham, back-to-back weeks, slayed some Giants.
Mm-hmm.
They knock off BYU 28-23 with the students storming the field early. That's an Arizona thing, because that happened at the University of Arizona with Oregon, remember?
That's right.
And they had to pull everybody back, and there were students like on the field as Oregon ended up winning the game.
They made the joke at Arizona State they had to put the field goal posts back up because they had already taken them down.
It was like, I think it's something to do with daylight savings time, and they don't do it.
I mean,
that must be it.
It's desert brain, because like Arizona's a lot closer to being Florida man than we give it credit for.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Arizona man is a thing.
No, for sure. Real quick, on a mild side note, Cam Scatabo, gotta see everything great about college football.
Yeah. Have you seen what his mom said a couple of weeks ago?
Mm-mm.
He has an older brother,
mm-hmm.
and he used to, like, when his older brothers were playing their games in football, he'd, like, have their old pair of shoulder pads with the brother that wasn't playing. He would put on shoulder pads and run into telephone poles.
That tracks if you watch how he runs.
Exactly, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, he was built for this.
Yeah.
this is what he's born to do.
They said during the broadcast that the reason Dillingham went and got him out of Sacramento State was his balance. when he runs. Like, if you've watched Arizona State at all, Scatabo, number one, always falls forward. Yep. I've never seen that guy get knocked backwards. And two, the first guy never takes him down.
Low pad level.
He wins every single time. Oh, and by the way, he's got breakaway speed. That cut, I mean, just absolutely left that dude's jockstrap in the dust against BYU when he housed it and then went immediately up to the fan and signed a football. If that's unsportsmanlike conduct, I want more unsportsmanlike conduct in football.
Yeah, I think that is very sportsman, though.
He scores a touchdown, literally goes over to a guy with an autograph ball. It's got the white paneling on it. And he grabs the pen and signs it. That was dope as hell.
That's pretty sweet.
Loved it. Loved every bit of it. Yeah. Like, Arizona State, man, like, it got a little dicey there at the end as BYU kind of came to life, but they were dictating much of that game. Just offensively. Like, Sam Levitt made a couple of big-time plays as a true freshman for him to – oh, sorry, redshirt freshman. But for a freshman to play the way he was playing, it wasn't the best. It was 16-25. It wasn't huge, but, like, when you needed him to make big plays, he did.
Dude, Kenny Dillingham is a damn good coach.
He is. And it's
he's gotten him to progress over this season, and that whole roster has improved over the course of the season. Like, they got something brewing there. Do you see that BYU – has some infighting now within their fan base?
Oh,
so Kalani Sitake after the game, because BYU came out and they looked like a different team in the second half.
Yes, they did, because the first half it was very similar to the I keep calling this one out because it's burned into my head. It was USC Michigan, where Michigan just mauled USC in the first half, and then it was a completely different game in the second half. Arizona State beat the crap out of BYU in that first half. That second half, it was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, BYU outscored him 20-7 in the second half. And Kalani Sitake said that their linebacker, Tyler Batty, took charge in the locker room at halftime and gave a speech that kind of rallied everybody. That speech was leaked on social media. And guess what? It was in violation of the honor code, some of the words that he was saying. And so now BYU fans are torn because are we the choir boys that always honor the honor code? Or do we
care about football now?
Is that something that is disgraceful to us and we can't have this in our locker room? And so now they're torn over that, but in the end, didn't really matter because Arizona State now controls their own destiny and the shine has come off BYU, which we saw. The committee didn't have much faith in BYU.
No, they said prove
anyways. And they have not proven it over the last couple of weeks. And now at 9-2 and 6-2 in Big 12 play, they do not control their own destiny, nor does Colorado, because they picked up their third loss of the season, their second loss in conference play, to a Kansas team that we talked about this last week. It's starting to play like the Kansas team we thought that they were at the beginning of the year. Yeah. Two great wins in a row over BYU and now over Colorado. And that was a butt kicking, man.
I mean, the big part of this is getting Jalen Daniels back. Yep. That's been a huge part of this. The other part of this is the DB that hit Shedeur Sanders like that should be in jail. How that wasn't a flag, how that wasn't a straight-up ejection. That flag,
like it.
It's Dusty, you know how I feel about this stuff. Like, I'm very anti-protect the quarterback, blah, 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 blah. That was such a maliciously late and dirty hit. He should have been thrown off the field.
Letter of the law doesn't fit it.
It was two steps.
And it was spirit of the rule, it doesn't even fit that either.
I mean,
he should have been flagged.
Thrown out.
Yeah.
Thrown out.
Yeah.
Right. At his knees?
Yep.
I couldn't believe that Shedeur stayed in the game. I couldn't believe. I thought his ACL was gone.
He's tough, man. He's taking
a lot of hits. I give him a lot of credit because that was a nasty hit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nasty hit. He came back in, stayed in, just fought through it, but you know, their defense could not stop a cold. I mean, Devin Neal. Goodness gracious.
Kansas scored on every possession of the game.
Dusty, 37 carries in a game.
Well, they literally, guys, KU scored every time they had the ball.
I think it was KU, their punter is Australian, and his parents came all the way there to see him play for the first time, and they never got to see him punt.
dims the brakes.
Hey, thanks for making the trip. But I mean, okay, think about this. As good as Jalen Daniels was, I can't remember the last time I saw a workload like this in college or anywhere. I mean, this is Derrick Henry in high school type stuff. 37 carries for 207 yards, 5.6 yards per carry. I mean, he was housing dudes. 3 touchdowns, 4 receptions for 80 yards and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
287 total yards, 41 touches.
But you know
that's nuts. Dusty,
Travis Hunter shouldn't be the Heisman winner because of that.
41 touches by himself is more plays than Colorado ran.
Yeah. I it was...
My goodness!
Devin Neal, but he also... So much attention had to be paid to Jalen Daniels that he got clean alleyways, yeah. Right? I mean, because Jalen Daniels was
that
like...
That run from Jalen Daniels was
eyes
incredible.
Eyes deep, undisciplined linebackers, boop, going to dump it off. It is keeping undisciplined linebackers at bay with 6 carries for 72 yards, right? It was pick and choose your spots, and they said, we are not going to let number 6 beat us, and guess who did? Number 4.
Yeah.
Number 4, Neal was a monster. Absolutely.
I mean, the insane stat in this game, 40 minutes and 11 seconds. That's the time of possession for Kansas. When was the last time you saw, like, in a matchup like this where a team had a 2-1 time of possession advantage?
Well, Air Force and Oregon State a week ago, which was 28-0.
But again...
What is it, 41 minutes to change to 18 and something?
But I mean, a game like this where the talent level's a lot higher on both sides.
Yeah. No, it was a butt kicking of epic proportions. Like it wasn't. And look, when Colorado did score,
I mean, Shador did what he's supposed to do. He's 23 of 29, 266, 3 touchdowns. Didn't turn the ball over. Like that's the thing about this too. This was a clean game. There wasn't like there was turnovers. Like it was just they couldn't stop them.
Well, it can be really clean when the defense isn't putting forth much of resistance to one side.
Yeah, I mean, when your top 4 tacklers are your literally your defensive backfield.
No,
that was the leading tacklers for Colorado.
Not good.
Problem.
Not.
You want to see a linebacker in there?
Mm-hmm. Very, very bad for you. Meanwhile, Iowa State, they held off Utah at the end. Boy, that game was nip and tuck at the end, and Utah gave themselves a chance to force overtime, but too little, too late. So we're looking at potentially Iowa State versus Arizona State in the Big 12 championship game, just as everybody had predicted. We have to watch on how this week shakes out. Colorado plays Oklahoma State, which is 0-8 in Big 12 play. Arizona State has Arizona in the Territorial Cup. Iowa State has Kansas State, and that one could get a little dicey there, but it is in Ames. And then BYU plays Houston. The way BYU has been playing, I'm not going to rule anything out, but Houston is in the dregs this year.
I mean, we talked about the landmines that were going to present themselves for both BYU and Arizona State. And look, Houston is down, but it was still like, you could see something getting weird.
So I can't wait. I hope Arizona State does punch their ticket to the Big 12 title game. And I want to see all of the new teams. I want to see all of them playing for conference titles.
It'd be funny. Not going to lie.
It would be the most poetic thing, and I want to see as many Pac-12 teams as we can in there because that would make it so damn fun if we had a bunch of former Pac-12 teams where everybody said, not good football out west, and they go out and they find a way to win a bunch of conference titles. We do know a little bit more about the Oregon Ducks and who they may face in the Big Ten championship game because Ohio State put a whooping on the Indiana Hoosiers. Let's dive into that game next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.